The way I like to work is like, I like to go basically wake up, obsess over something, go to bed, wake up, obsess, go to bed. Like every second of the day until I just have a mental breakdown and burn out. And then I like take a day off or maybe a day and a half off. And I like to go right back to it. So I don't like work certain days. I just go as hard as I can every ounce of my entire body until I just crash.
All right. In this episode, we are going to talk about.
One second. Look, we got to let the guy, Mr. Beast, actually do the intro.
Okay. Guys, in this, we're going to teach you how to make a fucking $1 million. If you don't have $1 million, we're going to show you in this podcast.
All right. That was way better than us. Yeah, that's right. Mr. Beast, the biggest YouTuber in the world, joined us on My First Million, and Hasan Minhaj, one of the biggest comedians in the world. We did a 4-person pod in person. This is kind of amazing.
Yeah. So look, check this out. I think Sean actually mentioned this on the podcast, but about 3-4 weeks ago, he said he's going to create this thing called Camp MFM. So basically, he rented a house, a big old mansion in North Carolina, and he DM'd like 20 different people, a bunch of different founders and a bunch of interesting people. But then he also DM'd Mr. Beast and Hasan, and he told them to come. I didn't actually think they were going to show up. And so we were just sitting here at night recording a podcast, and they walked in and joined us, and it was amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy seeing one of the biggest YouTubers in the world, one of the biggest comedians in the world. They kind of interviewed each other, and they talked about their creative process, what they're self-conscious of, what it's like to work for them, how much they put into each thing that they do. It was pretty nuts.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was amazing. They made fun of me at first because I was nervous, and I was. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a big deal. It was awesome.
So check it out. I think you're going to dig it.
Wait, hold on. We're rolling?
We're rolling.
All right, we're live.
We're doing it. Right. If it's not recording, you're just not getting it.
Yeah, you're not getting it, dude. You're not getting Jimmy.
All right, we're live. Wait, what were we saying?
This is the most interesting crossover ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why are the four of us sitting here?
I have no idea.
Let's put him on the spot because he seems the most nervous.
Yeah. Me?
He's like the body language doctor. He reads body language good,
you know,
right?
Why I'm nervous is because I'm wearing these shorts.
Bro, yeah, hey, bro. You're wearing the short shorts.
We also got a live audience here. Why? What is this?
Yeah.
There's 30 men in this house. Why?
Yeah. Why is there a sausage fest? Give us answers.
This is the power of Sean.
So here's the deal. So the story is that you wanted to do this. And it happened in 3 weeks?
Yeah. I just hit up a bunch of people. Actually, you know what? The way it really came together was I just tweeted it out. Because if you do that shit, like, you know, just it's like a luck magnet. Good things can happen. And 100-something people signed up for it. I was scrolling through the names. And it's like, what's your Twitter handle? And one of them said Mr. Beast. And I was like, but I was like, it's a Google form. Anybody could write Mr. Beast. I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. Some jackass. Then he DMs me. He goes, this sounds fun. And we don't know each other.
Yeah, I don't know him at all.
And he's like, I was like, oh shit, that was real. Oh shit, this is on. We're going to do it now. And then I was like, he's like, where are we doing it? And I was like, where does Mr. Beast live? North Carolina? I was like, yeah, we're thinking about doing it near Duke. He's like, okay, I'll come then. And then I got everybody else in after that.
You follow him on Twitter?
Well, Ben from How to Take a World like retweeted him. And I was like, who's this guy? And then I tapped. And he just tweeted like 5 seconds ago, I'm hosting an NBA camp for like entrepreneurs. And I was like, oh, this looks cool. And then I just
That's how crazy life
and
is.
I was just like, I don't know who this is, but I mean, basketball sounds fun.
And then he calls me last week. He's like, yo, like, I'm coming, but like, I don't know who you are. So like, what's your deal?
And here we are.
But you do that. You just walk around and call people.
Yeah. Well, I just like learning. I mean, that's how you just.
Did you hear how he got connected with Ben?
No.
All right. So Ben over here. He is our producer, okay. And he hosts this amazing podcast called How to Take Over the World. And I get, how did you find it?
Bro, this is going to get so many levels
Someone
deep.
Put him onto it.
No one has any idea what we're even talking about.
No, anymore. They do. Because
but Cliff, who's sitting there, told me to listen to How to Take Over the World. So I listened to it. Who retweeted his tweet about the camp, and here I am. So
there, you know what's funny, by the way?
Story.
He's like, yo, this is dog shit content. Because on YouTube, you had to be on point. Like in the first 10 seconds, you needed to like grip people. He's like, this is their podcast.
I've already gone over 20 ways we could optimize this better in my head.
What are they?
All right, what would they be? Let's go.
Already 20 ways.
Well, that's what this podcast is. It's a brainstorm.
We've already switched topics like 5 times and we didn't really hit them with like a hard one at the start. Like, what would have been better if it's like, I don't know, like we told some crazy story or something, like to hook them or like, or me for the ones who don't know. So then like, they're like, oh, now I know I should have listened. Like,
all right, so here's the deal. Things are changing fast in the tech world and the internet marketing world. And that's a big deal because you have to know which trends to stay on top of in order to market better, in order to acquire customers for cheap, and so you can run your business as efficiently as possible.
Staying on top of all those trends is a pain in the butt, though. And so the folks at HubSpot have made this amazing report. It has a very official sounding name because it is a very official document. It's the 2024 State of Marketing Report. They've looked at millions, tens of millions of bits of data to find the top marketing trends that have the most immediate impact on your business. And so what HubSpot did was they surveyed over 1,400 marketing pros from across the world, and they looked at what are people using effectively, what's not working, more importantly, and they've been able to compile it in a really easy to read document. So if you want to learn ways how to optimize for social, or how to boost engagement, or how to strike the right balance between privacy but still being personal with your customers, go to HubSpot.com/state of marketing to get the free copy, or just Google HubSpot State of Marketing and it will come up. Check it out.
All right, host the podcast for a second. So do our 10-second intro.
Guys, in this, we're going to teach you how to make a fucking $1 million. If you don't have $1 million, we're going to show you in this podcast. Like something like that. Now they're going to listen.
All right, so here's what's interesting. We got me and Sam. Mm-hmm. We got Hassan Minhaj, who's a famous comedian, Netflix special.
We haven't announced it yet, but yeah, sure.
Breaking news. Uh-huh. We got Jimmy, a.k.a. Mr. Beast. Craziest crossover.
Yeah, it's a wild
you guys
crossover.
Just met tonight.
We met like an hour ago. Yeah.
All right. Give me first impressions. What do you think of Mr. Beast?
He's a cool guy. Yeah. Right. He seemed really cool.
What did you think coming in?
I just knew he was a big like prank stunt. He's the voice of YouTube. He's
did
the voice
he
of a generation.
You, or he's how you thought he would be.
Yeah. I feel like his,
you're going to get your turn too.
I feel like his like curiosity, enthusiasm, all that stuff was really cool. Yeah. I listened to him on Rogan. He's really fascinating.
And what about you? What was your first impression?
I mean, kind of the same thing. Like it was, I mean, you were just easy to talk to, which I think was very nice. Like we were talking for like an hour.
Yo, and Sean just turned this into Indian matchmaking so fast. You're like,
what did you say? Hold hands.
Look, he said that ring on his finger. He's taken.
Yeah, I'm taking
that. Dude, he said something really interesting to me earlier. We were just, you and I were shooting the shit.
Oh God, what is that?
And we were talking about business. I think you said Elon Musk is like, I don't know if you said hero, but you're like, I think he's like the pinnacle of entrepreneurship.
Entrepreneurship, yeah.
Sure. And I was like, well, what's going to be your SpaceX or what's going to be your like big rocket thing, you know? And you said, well, Elon had Zip2 when he was around my age. So Zip2 was like his peer sharing service that he sold and he made like $20 or $30 million.
Yeah.
And then he took that and he did PayPal and then whatever else he did. And you said something like, you know, I think I can build like $100 billion company, but if I'm being modest, I'll build a couple at least $1 billion companies. Yeah. But then you go, but I don't really care about the money. I just love winning. I just want to win. And I was like, yes,
sounds about right.
I'm about this. Yeah. I like that.
I mean, like money is cool, but you know, I live in my studio. I don't have like a mansion. I don't drive a Lamborghini. So it's like, I like money because I can hire more people and grow my business, but not so I can like increase my lifestyle or whatever. So, which, you know, most people, when you say, that's why I prefer to say I love winning. Cause it kind of encapsulates it a little bit more. Cause if you just like, you know, talk about money, then people just think you just want to buy expensive stuff.
Do your employees
we went to his office today, or we went to his studio and he's like, took us on tour. Cool. This is where we blow shit up. This guy's trapped.
Tom blew me off, by the way.
Air Canada flight delays blew him off.
kidding.
But we walk through. He's like, all right, yeah, this is this boardroom. This is my office. And so we go in and it's basically like, imagine like kind of like a gaming chair, computer. That's standard. Next to it, I guess like two other objects in the room. Just take any guess.
That he had?
Yeah.
A Nalgene water bottle and
just like a bench press on the floor.
A bench press directly next to the desk. And then the walls were just like a Steve Jobs quote, an Elon quote, a Steve Jobs quote. And then there's like a timeline, like at this age, Steve Jobs was here. At this age,
holy shit.
You're motivated by that shit.
Stay ahead of it. Also, some of those Elon quotes aren't even real. I love to just put fake Elon quotes. So if people read it to see if they're like, oh, that's inspiring or just completely made up.
Well, they're not that insightful. One was just the one right in front of your desk goes, work super hard. Elon Musk.
No, that's one of the real ones. But I have my assistant like trying to find the dumbest things Elon's ever publicly said. So I can put mixed with all the real quotes just to see if people believe him or not.
Were you good at school?
No, horrible.
Really?
God awful.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That was like, I mean, I would act like I was studying, but, you know, I was filming videos. I actually, my entire high school career, never brought my book bag home or anything. I would just, like, throw it under, like, the bleachers, and then in the morning, I'd just grab it.
Your first video was what? You were, like, 12, right?
Yeah. Oh, actually, I started making when I was 11. Yeah.
Wow, holy shit.
So, and yeah, and it's crazy because I see 11-year-olds now, and they're, like, this tall and squeakers, and I'm like, how was I making videos? Uh-huh. This kid looks...
Is your, like, first video still live?
No, because I got embarrassed because people would play it in class. So I deleted my channel and then I made a new one when I was 13. So a little.
Wow, but the 13-year-old videos are still live.
Yeah, 13 are still
live. Wow.
Okay. Here's one that's dope. That's like a message to myself in 5 years. Uh-huh. Calling a shot.
Dude, you know what he's talking about? So no. The greatest thing I ever did in my life is when I was studying for a history test, like, yeah, back in a long time ago, when I had like 8,000 subscribers, I was like, screw this. I just closed my book. I threw it on the floor and I just recorded a video. I scheduled, uploaded a video for 6 months. And I go, hi, me in 6 months. I think I'll have 100,000 subscribers, whatever. Or no, 10,000 subscribers. I was like, and then I hit stop recording, then I hit record. Hi, me in a year. And I schedule up, because you can upload videos to the future, a video a year out. I was like, you better have 100,000. And I was like, hi, me in 5 years. Bro, if you don't have 1 million subscribers, you're a fucking idiot. And I just would talk to me 5 years from now. And I was just like talking about the channel. But yeah, I filmed it when I had 8,000 subscribers a long time ago. And then I did hi, me in 10 years, blah, blah, blah. So 10 years hasn't come out yet. But hi, me in 5 years came out. My prediction was I'd have 1 million subscribers. Wow. So it goes live on the channel like 2 years ago. And I had like 40 million subscribers. But in the video that goes live, it's like, here's the date. Here's the time. I'm like a fucking stupid teenage kid. And I'm like, I hope you have at least 1 million subscribers. And maybe you're doing this as a job. I don't know. I make like 10 bucks a month right now. Like, I hope you can make it a job in the next 5 years. And that went public. And I completely forgot I even did that. And I was like, oh shit. I opened up YouTube and I saw it. Everyone thought it was one of the coolest things I ever did.
Wow. And you're like a little kid in it.
Yeah. And so in like 3 more years, hi, me in 10 years goes up. And I'm like,
what's in it?
I'm just like, I hope by now you should be out of college. Yeah, you're definitely out of college. I think that's how I started it. And you should be doing YouTube full time. Like, there's just no world you're not after 10 years. Like, you're probably making a little bit of money. I just hope you are. Like, I hope you didn't.
And how much were you at the time?
Like, I was at 8K subs, like making 10 bucks a month. And so my prediction in 10 years was like, I hope you're doing this as a job. And so when that goes up, I think that's going to be crazy.
And when we were talking today, you talk with a lot of certainty about like where you're going, what you're doing. There's like very, like, if everybody's got this knob that's like doubt, your knob's set to zero on doubt. That's my, I don't know. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Well, the thing is we probably spend like 20, 30 times longer thinking of ideas than other people. We probably film like 10 times more than other people. We probably spend 100 times for a video more than other people. So it's like, we put in the effort, but I don't know how to say it where it's not arrogant. I just believe in what we're doing. You know what I mean?
Back then, like, how much do you think you believed when you recorded that video that was actually going to happen?
Oh, no. I mean, those were just different times. I was in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, North Carolina. So it's like everyone, you know, constantly wanted to remind me, you're not going to be a YouTuber. Grow up, be realistic. So.
I think it's amazing that you never left North Carolina, though.
Yeah, that's, you're still cool. In bumfuck North
that's
Carolina.
What are
you
talking about?
Yeah. I'm trying to make it not bumfuck anymore, but it's a work in progress.
Do you still rep it really hard?
I mean, some of these people over here work there. I just got a lot of people and it's too much to move.
What was your metric instead of subscribers and like views when you were younger? Because with business, it's like revenue or employees. You guys are both business, but you're also like a more creative thing. So what was yours?
Yeah. When I was coming up, it was probably, can you do a set on late night? Can you do like a Conan set? Ooh. Yeah. Could you be on, I'll be a cast member of SNL. Like those were the metrics kind of. Those like legacy media comedy institutions.
That was the
I'll be in a movie. I want to be in a sitcom. I want to be in a TV show.
And what did it feel like when you started actually, like, you know, The Daily Show and then selling
out? Yeah, that felt like a real like kind of check mark. Like, wow, you've turned the corner.
Didn't in your you tell life me that? That like right before that happened, you were living in a basement.
I was living in an attic, bro. Attics are actually above sea level, but basements are below sometimes, you know? So yeah, I was living like a kind of in a not a great situation though.
How
I'm amazed at your confidence, bro. The level of confidence, like the
in the video?
Just the sheer amount of confidence you have. Because I still think maybe a downside of comedy is you have to have like a very high level of
comedians are usually
self-deprecation
messed up.
And self-awareness to be like, you know what I mean?
Well, you told me something because I was like trying to be funny.
Right.
And you send me these like iMessage things that are like just gold. Like, you just send me these voice notes And one of the things you had said,
he was trying to write, he was like trying to do kind of like a comedy monologue.
Yeah.
And,
yeah YouTube yeah, video. Right. It's up there. 17,000 views. No big deal.
Yeah.
So, wow. But you gave me a little hit. You go,
the ego on this, man. I know,
bro, you started an 8K. I'm at 17K. Yeah. I'm at least going to be
down. Okay.
But he says something. You go, comedy is low status game. You start low status. Is that a trade secret? Or can you do that?
You know, it's like there's high status and low status. Generally, if you're low status, they're going to empathize with you. You know what I mean? So
like, what's an example? Like, you get on stage.
You being like, I got 17,000 views in front of a guy who gets like 50 million views. And, right. But we're going to empathize more with you than we are with Mr. Beast in that scenario, because you're like, oh man, you know, and if you're like funny about it and to be confident about that, well, if you kind of own it, people are like, oh, like
we did like an awkward icebreakers of the group.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this because, you know, my prompt was say your name and say one thing nobody in the room knows about you.
Yeah.
Which was basically like, you can't be like, oh, I'm Mr. Beast. I make a bunch of YouTube videos. You can't use your claim to fame. You got to use something else.
Right.
And everybody was saying something interesting. And then I think Sully was the first one who was just like, I played one game of Little League baseball in my life because I shit my pants and they wouldn't let me come back.
That was really great. Yeah.
And
that was
low status. By the way, 100,000 people are going to listen to that one. But he did a low status one where everybody else was saying a fun fact, like a cool fact about them.
Totally.
He went low and somebody else was like, you know, I remarried my ex-wife, which makes me either the biggest idiot in the world or I guess the biggest idiot in the world.
He's like, hey, group, share something no one on the planet knows. No one. And then 5 minutes later, all right, podcast, here's what they said.
I mean, shitting your pants at Little League. Pretty low status. And then being like, all right, I double backed and married my ex-wife again. Like,
like no one knows this.
Jimmy, were you confident as a kid
in the career?
Yeah, just as a kid.
No, I had a fucking god awful acne when I was younger. I still have a ton of acne scars. So even worse.
What are you not confident about? So you're confident in your work and your ability to hit certain goals, whether revenue target.
Actually, it leads me into, honestly, I'm still trying to get confident speaking in front of large groups of people, which made me want to ask you a question because we were talking about stand-up.
Yeah.
So let's say if I dedicated my life to trying to be a stand-up comic, how long do you think it would take for me to get good at it?
I mean,
what's the typical curve?
Everybody says it takes you 10 years to get good, but I just think it all depends on like your natural capacity and inclination for it. Mm-hmm. Like there's some people I've seen when they're open micers, they're amazing. You know, they just have great stage presence. They have great stories. They're amazing on stage. So there's people like that, comics that I've met where I'm like, the first time I saw them, they were amazing. Gerard Carmichael was like that. He was incredible. He was just incredible. He was so comfortable. We would do open mics and he would just, everybody was turning left and he was just turning right. Like just his vulnerability, his stage presence. People would do their set. He would do things where like, it'd be like a Conan showcase. And everyone would do their polished material. You're like, hey, what's up? I'm Hussein. And, you know, dating's hard. He would just get up and he would just off the dome, like kind of do a brand new set that night.
And
you could tell you're like, oh, this is kind of crazy.
So how long do you think it would take him to get good?
That's like the question he just asked is like, how long would it take me to be as good as Ariana Grande at singing? You're like, how would I even? It's not a hack. Like, or if you asked like a MMA fighter, like how long would it take me to get as good as you? Like, it's a thank you. It's a see that's a you put them in low status. You offered the two waters to me. Now I feel weird. Now I gotta put them on the side. Dude, low status.
I spent my whole life trying to be high
you
status.
Guys, you guys you all got the water. Now I'm parched.
That sounds
now
way
I'm parched.
Easier.
Yeah. I have to give Mr. Beast his water. You know what I mean?
Jimmy, what are your
you legacy media hack? And I gotta pour the water for him. And get the fuck out of here.
Is your company ran like a normal company at all? Or and what would your employees say about working with you?
I mean, Tariq, you want to just come say?
Damn.
I don't know.
That's a Tariq question.
I don't know.
Have you had like, how did you learn how to run a company? Did you have to hire someone?
That's what's hard. Cause like, he wants, come on in. That there's a couple questions. You take over.
So the question was like,
what's it like working with him?
Oh, it's great. It's always different. No, it really is. It's always here's the thing.
We know it's great.
Like, you're fired.
I'm already fired.
I mean, how's Tariq going to answer that? But not.
Well, listen. He pays the bills.
Go ahead. Ask a better question.
Let me ask you a better question.
Yes.
All right. So the better question is, What's the
it's fucking employers?
Right what's here. The like extreme, either extreme good part or extreme bad part about working with them? We yeah, know it's hey, overall hey, extreme.
Hey, actually, I will say that right now. For real. Yeah. So extreme good part is the experiences. Like I've done experiences that I've never could have imagined in my entire life. Like the traveling, the doing the coolest stunts that we've ever done. The worst part is I guess not knowing like what's next in yeah. terms of routine. And he knows this best too. Like we all kind of go through it if you work at Mr. Beast. So, but that comes with it. You know what I mean? And that's something that you kind of have to accept. But yeah, I think that's my answer. That's,
all right. Well, and the reason I was asking was because you.
Am I your favorite boss? I'm a great person.
So far, 100%. Yes.
Well, no, I was asking because my employees sometimes would complain that I'd be like too aggressive, changing things too much. But you seem more aggressive than I am.
Yeah.
And for a certain type of person, they like that. But for you to achieve your goals, you're going to have to have a lot of people, and then every once in a while, process, and every once in a while, infrastructure, and every once in a while,
yeah.
planning.
Are you a perfectionist?
Well, of course. Yeah. I just like to make the greatest YouTube videos possible. And that's literally all I want. So yeah, I mean, if it's not the greatest video, I just won't upload it. And so after you scrap a few videos, everyone just starts to figure it out.
Does it scare you that you can't stop? Do you ever feel like, damn, I'm just throwing all these coals on on the embers of the algorithm?
I like to use a better analogy. It's like a treadmill. We're on like 12, like yeah. 12 speed, and I've been going at a couple of years. No, it doesn't scare me, but so like I was telling him, the way I like to work is like I like to go basically wake up, obsess over something, go to bed, wake up, obsess, go to bed, like every second of the day until I just have a mental breakdown. I burn out and then I like take a day off or maybe a day and a half off. And I like to go right back to it. So I don't like work certain days. I just go as hard as I can every ounce of my entire body until I just crash. And somehow that's sustainable.
What time do you sleep?
Right now, usually around 3 a.m.
Wow. Yeah, and then you get up at like
whenever Rohan or one of them knock on my door.
Tariq will wake you up and just like,
well, yeah, people will roll me out of bed. They're like, you need to go watch this video so we can submit it, or I need help with the thumbnail, or you got to go film. It's like, I don't know. They tell me what to do. I don't dictate.
Well, I'm just shocked at like the numbers. So like you're I'll let you reveal any numbers, but you've some big numbers for revenue for your other businesses.
Yeah.
And you have to have infrastructure for that. So that's why I was wondering. I was like, because you are like this.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So
on the stereotype, you're like this crazy creative person who's disorganized, and that's perfect.
Yeah.
But to sell that much of candy or of burgers, like you got to be.
Yeah. So those are all separate entities. So for our snack brand, we hired Jim, who helped build RX Bar, and we built a team around him. So that's a whole independent company that doesn't even work out of our studio. And same thing with Beast Burger. So that's the beauty. I like to just find people who are just the best in the goddamn world at their job, and then just empower them and give them money. And
let so
them
how many people work at the studio?
In the studio, like 60, because we don't have enough space to fit everyone. So that's why we're trying to build more, but building things just take forever.
Do people like working for you, you think?
The reason I'm asking is like these like creative types. Yeah, I'm like curious about depends, like, man.
Because the goal is to make one of us like a big deal. Everyone is working for that. Whereas a lot of other companies, it's like, no, but there's like this.
It's not necessarily that either. There's also certain projects where I'd be like, I'd love to learn from you. So there's been shows and movies that I've done, like The Morning Show. Like I've never done a sexy 1 hour drama. I want to learn from Reese Witherspoon. I want to learn from Jennifer Aniston. I want to learn from the show creators. Like, how do you do that? How do you shoot that? What's that lens? What are you doing that? Is that a 50? Is that a 75? How did you do that tracking shot? Why did you do that tracking shot? Let me see the script. Let me see the future script. There's all these things where I'm like, I just want to absorb. I just want to see how you do the whole thing. You right. know what I mean? Like, yeah. And that's an additive, like positive value for me because most people don't have that access to that. You know?
Yeah, I mean, the example is Tariq got to meet his idol today.
Oh man. Bro, Tariq, you got to set the bar.
Yeah, we had told them that you were coming today to the thing, and like the look of disappointment when they saw I was the only brown guy there. They're like, "That ain't hustle."
They're like, "Yo, hustle's this, changed, like, bro." Hustle.
Yeah, hustle's changed. And I tried to be bro. Funny on top of it, and they were like, "What the fuck?"
The camera really does add 10 pounds, bro.
Yeah. Oh, don't do that, bro. Don't do that.
When we were at your office, so you have like a big Elon, Steve Jobs, like you admire these guys. That's why you like the How to Take Over the World podcast, because you like learning from them. What's a story that you heard that you're like, that like stuck with you? That like you remembered, you referenced, it like kind of changed the way you were thinking.
From those two in particular, I think the biggest thing is like that Steve became a billionaire from Pixar, you know, not even Apple. And so like the fact that he could go to this just not even hardware company, more creative storytelling company, and just kick ass and create films like Toy Story and all these other bangers, and just build that company up to whatever it was, like then Disney buy it for $7 billion. And meanwhile, Apple's just falling to the ground and about to go out of business, and they, you know, buy them back with Next, and all of a sudden rebounds. And basically the way they did it was just getting rid of 90% of products and just focusing on like four or five. I mean, it just shows like the power that one individual had, even though both companies had, you know, I don't know about Pixar, but Apple had thousands of employees and Pixar probably had at least hundreds. And despite all that, you know, one man can make that much of a difference. Like the power of having good vision and just not relenting is like invaluable.
You do know? You think your biggest strength is probably your curiosity? You're down to do anything. And
well,
down to do
so
whatever.
I think what you have to do is you have to always be learning, right? That's how you can like, so like with our ideas, right? Because we like to do original ideas that no one's ever done before. And I might have told Jude this when we were talking on the phone. Thing is, like, if there is a hypothetical fruit in Japan that if you eat it, makes it where you can jump 30 feet taller, right? If that exists in this world right now, you didn't know it existed. So you couldn't come up with something around that. It's very hyper specific. But there's like a million things like that in the world that, like, if you don't know about it or you're not intaking the inspiration, you can't really come up with something. Like, if I were to try to get into stand-up, like, that's how I would try to do something different. Right. I just try to intake a bunch of different information and see what spawns in my head. So I try to always be learning.
Would the Mr. Beast version of stand-up be like, I'm going to do the longest set ever. I'm going to do the longest comedy ever. Would it have to be, would that be the Mr. Beast like twist on it?
I would have to find something different. Cause obviously whatever is currently out there, you know, cause I have a bunch of people on my team who are stand-ups, like it's been done a bunch of times. So we'd have to figure out something different, which I would love to one day, just cause it seems fun. Cause Tariq talks to me about it all the time. But in general, you got to always just be intaking inspiration from different places, whether it be different podcasts, books, or different knowledge. I have people that I pay that just teach me things, just whatever, like things that I don't know.
What do you mean by that?
Like they'll just find things that they don't think I'm aware of or show me cool things and be like, I don't think you know this is a thing. Here, read about it. And so that way I'm always
like, what's an example?
And how many of these people do you have? This is awesome.
Right now, just like two or three.
Yeah, Jimmy, they call those people, those are teachers.
Okay.
I mean, he's like, they'll sit me down for about an hour at a time. And what's wild is they'll focus on a subject. And it's like, what's going on right now?
You know, I never thought about that way.
Pay them a couple hundred grand.
That's why we keep them around. No, but it's like different topics. So
gotcha.
Yeah. Like the last one was like about just like crazy online, like which like these like little things where they'll upload a file to Reddit and then like inside it's an encrypted code which takes you to a website which takes you to a book and like these little like wild goose chase puzzles and like seeing if that inspired me. I don't know, it's just random things.
I'm blacking out, friend.
In point, I'm trying to always expand my knowledge well in my head with new things that I can draw inspiration from.
I was giving him props earlier where I said so much of people who kind of rev the algorithm are usually being divisive. They're saying something that's going to make you mad.
Right.
Like I have a joke where I make fun of MDs and DOs and DOs get really mad. And, you know, it's like, that's like a niche physician's joke, but people get upset.
Right.
But what I was saying was so cool about what you do is I think really what you've tapped into is joy and spectacle and wonder, which is like a counter to that. And it's very rare to see that really take off on the internet. So what made you feel like I'm going to do that versus do videos that might agitate people per se?
Yeah. Well, I do think in general, it is a little bit easier just to piss people off and get attention.
For sure.
It's a lot harder to do good and get attention. So that's why I think a lot of people don't. But for me, because we just had this ability to go viral, it's just kind of like there's a world where I make videos and I don't help people. And there's a world where I make videos and I do help people.
Mm-hmm.
The one where I do help people is just a little bit more fun. So that's why I do it. PR wise, I should have a better answer, but that's kind of the truth.
Our software is the worst.
Have you heard of HubSpot?
See, most CRMs are a cobbled together mess, but HubSpot is easy to adopt and actually looks gorgeous.
I think I love our new CRM.
Our software is the best.
HubSpot, grow better.
What creators do you guys look up to?
Oh, I'm curious to see what you say.
What creators do I look up to?
YouTubers, podcasters, comedians.
Podcasters.
I was going to say creators.
Yeah.
It could be anybody.
Anybody.
I think one of the first people that really inspired me, I think, was probably Steven Spielberg.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, he's one of the greatest storytellers ever. What was the first movie that you saw where you're like, oh my God, I was blown away? For me, it was Jurassic Park as a kid.
I only watched YouTube growing up. I've seen
that's it.
Movies. Yeah. I get made fun of all the time.
What was the last movie that you watched?
Well, I watched the Spider-Man 3 one because I never saw the earlier ones.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you have no time for movies.
Wait, no, it's not that time. I don't know. I need to. Like, I need to go back and watch Star Wars and Harry Potter and all that stuff to get brought up on culture. But holy, I was just like,
you did. And so you didn't see Squid Game. You just did the Squid Game remake.
Squid Game, I watched it. Yeah. Before we did it. Like, I wouldn't count that as a movie. Like, I watched a ton of anime. But movies. And weirdly enough, like growing up, I didn't listen to music or watch movies. So I was like so out of culture.
Wow. It
was brutal. Which is part of why I was an introvert.
There's this Conor McGregor quote where they're like, you know, he was on BBC or something. They're like, oh, it's a bigger appearance, not just niche UFC thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you think about this team or this game? And he's like, you know, that one you said, they're great.
It was like Arsenal or something.
Yeah, he's like, oh, Arsenal. And they're like, you don't know anything about Arsenal, right? I don't follow the news. I don't watch sports. I don't do anything. He goes, I have lost my mind to the game. He goes, I am obsessed with my game. I have lost my mind to it. I don't have time for anything else. I don't want to know about anything else. I only want to know about this game. When we were hanging out, I feel like you had that vibe where you were like, you said a couple of things. You were like, I decided I was going to be a YouTuber and I was going to make great videos. And it didn't matter if I died the most famous YouTuber of all time or 90 years old with 1,000 subscribers, I was going to make great YouTube videos. Like that's what I decided I was going to do. And that's all I do. And I do that thing.
What was that first YouTube video that you saw that like kind of filled you with that wonder where you're like, wow.
Oh, well, this guy actually got hacked like a very long time ago. This like Call of Duty YouTuber, and they like leaked his earnings and he had made like $100,000 a year the last few years. And I remember being like 10 and be like, what the fuck? They make that kind of, they make money doing this. And I was just so mind blown that they actually made money.
Wow. They make more than my mom.
Like, yeah. It was right there when I was like, okay, I'm doing this. Like, I just don't care. I'm being a YouTuber or I'm going to fucking die trying. I just don't care. And that, like the second I saw that was actually possible, that's when I was like, that's it. And it's funny also talking about like obsession and stuff like this, because it's funny how it changes, right? When you're like, and maybe it's different now because social media is a little bit cooler. But when I was younger, like no one wanted to be a YouTuber. Like most people when I was 13, 14 didn't even have phones yet. Like it was kind of like a little bit of an older thing. And maybe it's just because where I grew up. But it's funny because back then people are like, get a life, stop being a fucking nerd. Like you're too obsessive, you're a weirdo. And then now it's like, oh, bro, he was so obsessive. It's so great. Like,
right. It's seen as a positive quality.
And it's so funny, like looking back on our life, going from a fucking loser nerd who's too obsessive and won't go anywhere to like, damn, that's really inspiring. And it's like, damn, it was very hurtful back then, but I'm glad it's inspiring now. And so it's funny to see how it changes. But I like to bring that up because if there are younger people or parents who have kids who are obsessive like this, that's typically what happens. Like younger kids don't understand that and it's different. And so you don't watch the newest South Park or the newest movie or whatever. So you don't talk about the same thing. So then people are just like, oh, well, you know, it fucking sucks. You know what I mean?
How would you deal with that? Cause you have kids. I have kids. Yeah. If they go, I want to be a Twitch streamer, I want to be a video gamer. You're like, well, let's go.
I had the same realization. I was like, oh, so wait a minute. We spend the first 18 years of our life trying to fit in. That's how I felt in school. I was trying to fit in all the time. What do people do? That's cool. How do I do that thing?
Right.
And then, once I was like in the adult world, it's like, oh shit, now we spend our whole life trying to stand out. Like, well, what was all that other shit? Why was I so focused on fitting in if the rest of your life you're trying to stand out? And I just realized like, oh shit, standing out has been the game the whole time. Mm. And the way you stand out is not by trying to figure it out. Just like whatever you're obsessed with, just let that ride. Cause you'll go on a path that nobody else is going to copy. And then you'll land in a good spot. So if my kid, like my daughter's 2 right now, if she was into gaming or if she was trying to be a creator, all that stuff, I would be all in on it. Cause I know even if that's not your end game, following your obsession is like the thing to do in life. You know, that will always work out. But you know, if you like actually go down that path, what most people do is they hedge. They like this thing, but then they see this path that's more proven or shiny, or they don't know if it's going to work. So they only half try. Right. And then it's like that hedge is actually what gets you. It's not that this career path was that hard. It's that hedging is like, you know,
what was your major in college?
Biology.
The ultimate hedge. The ultimate hedge.
That was different. I just didn't know.
I know.
What I think is actually interesting, you could be doing the like YouTube, TikTok.
Sure.
I feel like you can look at his videos and be like, all right, I get it. I get why people like this. I get why this pops. Probably pretty tempting to be like, could I go get 50 million views, 100 million views? That seems nice. Like,
to do what he's done, I'm not allowed to say it. You said you spend X number of dollars every video.
Oh yeah.
I'll let you say it.
You can say it. Yeah. Our average view is around $1.5 million.
I mean, that's
he does that now, but go look at his archive, right? It's like he took a plastic knife and tried to cut a plastic table and it took him 48 hours to do that. That's yeah, a that's stupid. $1.50 video, right? Yeah. Like, that's not a 1.5 million. That's 1.5. Yeah.
Counting to 100,000, $0.
It's a different thing. It's a different thing. So that's like a different type of skill set and muscle. So the types of videos he's producing, stand up is different. If a musician was here, if a DJ was here, it's not all the same just because it's on YouTube. So yeah, we all do different types of media. This is a different type of media.
Are you tempted to like, you know, dabble?
Yeah, we talked about this, right? I mean,
the thing that I would be reticent of is what if I have to put this thing out and I don't believe in it, or I'm just doing it just to do it. That's the problem. But I have to put up a new video every Tuesday. That's right. Well,
just delete the video. Who cares? I know.
Well, I know. What do you do if you
sometimes we don't upload for 2 months. Yeah. You just only upload when it's a great video.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. So
I think it's dumb when people stick to like a schedule and they're like, oh, the video's not great, but I upload every Tuesday. It's like, who cares?
What are you guys trying to figure out right now? Because I think if you watch a lot of interviews with people, it's like, it's all buttoned up. It's all figured out. Mm-hmm. They're already successful. It's all working. And then the person who's watching these videos, typically somebody who doesn't have it all figured out. Right. And they're just sort of like, oh, that's different. Like, that'd be nice to have it all figured out. But the reality is nobody's got it all figured out, right? Like, we were in your office. The whiteboard's full because you're thinking of new.
Yeah.
Like, where are we going? What's not figured out? We got to figure it out. So what's on both y'all's plate of like, what are you still trying to figure out in your game?
Well, I'll let you take it first.
Yeah, Sean, what are you trying to figure out?
Yeah, what are you trying to
figure out? Yeah, come on, Sean.
I'm trying to figure out, I'll tell you, I'm trying to figure out if I want to go all in on content creating.
Wow.
Like, I basically built businesses. I have the most fun doing this, but I don't know if I had the most fun just because it's a hobby. Right. And like, I only get the good. I don't put all the work in.
If you love it, then go all in. I mean, it's not going to be less.
Do you love it?
I love doing it the way we're doing it now.
Yeah.
If I was like him, obsessed every hour of every day, trying to be like, how are we going to grow this channel? I might not love it as much.
Did you like doing the Twitter thing?
For a period of time. It got old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It got old. It was fun to chase the number. Can we get to 100,000 in like a few months? Yeah. This is fun to chase a number, but that didn't
I got sick of it too.
That didn't last. So that gets me worried. But that's the thing I'm trying to figure out. It's like, should I go all in on content creating or should I stay with creating businesses? Which one is like, what do I want to be when I grow up? That's the question.
I'm asking myself that exact same question too. Because sometimes like when you're create business first and then go to content, I'm like, oh man, am I just going to talk about doing it all the time? Or am I just going to fucking do it?
Yeah.
So
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. I feel exactly the same way. What about you?
Right now, I'm trying to stay loose for this game tomorrow. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to get tight, man. Yeah, I'm so 36, fun. Bro, pushing 37. Like, he's a young boy. Like, he might run us off the court.
He wanted to play tonight.
He was like, let's get a court tonight. Yeah.
I'm done.
Like, dude, my L4 is hurting. Like, my hamstrings are kind of tight from this flight.
We got to his studio and he was like, he's got a hoop there.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, we got six. Let's play a game.
Yeah.
He's wearing his like Yeezy slides. I was like, bro, I need 15 minutes of stretching. And then like, you know, I need like proper medical attention.
If we're going to try to do something here. Yeah. Do you guys want a gabal?
Yeah. If there was an indoor court, we would do it. Yeah. Okay. I play 21 with Jimmy right now. Yeah.
Okay.
That would be a fun video. Tariq, that would be a fun video.
You want to make it happen?
Yeah, let's do it.
Can play you 21. Just find a court somewhere around here?
Right here? We'll play 21.
Amazing.
We'll play 21 or horse. Yeah.
We'll wrap up with this with your answer.
Okay. Oh, what was the question?
What's not figured out? What are you trying to figure out
everything. So I'm just going to say a funny joke to change the topic.
All right, sure.
Basketball, how to not strain my legs tomorrow.
There you go.
There we go.